Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 11 hours, 57 minutes till the NFL draft, my friends. Hanging out here on the morning shift, Mike Johnson, Squid Billy, Dylon has been doing a phenomenal job on the ones and twos today. I'll give Dylon a lot of crap when it's not good, but you got to give him credit when he does.
He's been phenomenal today.
Yes. Yeah. You got to bring him a lot of credit when he brings the Thunder, man. So appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Been saying it all day. It's the NFL draft extravaganza. The NFL Merry Draft, Miss Squid Billy. Nobody knows this roster the way you and I do in this city of Atlanta. The duo of myself and Squid Billy talking Atlanta Falcons, that's where it's at. Yeah, Mary,
oh my God.
Mary Draftmas, Squid. Look, man, I keep getting tweets, and I appreciate everybody tweeting. I really, really do. I think you and I have tried to take the, and we always usually do when it comes to Atlanta Falcons fandom, and I understand why there is a lot of people that don't take this approach. Don't get me wrong. I am very understanding. A lot of people just saying, hey, man, I can't watch. I don't trust Terry. I don't trust this regime. I don't trust the Atlanta Falcons. I don't, whoever, fill in the blank, Arthur Blank, Rich McKay, I don't know, whoever else you want to blame. But I think you and I are both bringing the good vibes here at 8 a.m. on a Thursday morning.
Not an arrogance, it's a confidence.
Yeah, man. I am confident that the Atlanta Falcons are going to get a new good player tonight. I am confident about that. Now,
we know they're going to get a new player tonight.
I said a new good player. Now, okay. We can't be 100% confident in that one. But nonetheless, man, they're going to add a player, in my opinion, that will be good. I don't know if we're talking all pro. Well, you know, it's been very few and far between. We've actually drafted an all pro. Matt Ryan was an all pro at one point. He was an MVP. Julio Jones was an all pro a couple times. Vic Beasley had an all pro season.
A.J. Terrell's an all pro.
A.J. Terrell, I think he's had a second team, if I'm not mistaken. Has Chris Lindstrom had an all-pro nod?
I'm pretty sure.
Chris Lindstrom. So, nonetheless, man, those are all – here's the thing. Every guy I just mentioned, first-round draft pick. Right? First-round draft pick. All-pro nods, first-round draft
pick. He's got three second-team all-pros, which apparently you don't count since you didn't – you kind of stuck your nose up at A.J. Terrell's all-pro.
No, I'm just throwing it out there. We're talking about history of draft picks for the Atlanta Falcons, actual draft picks being all pros.
Well, I said it to I can't remember who it was. We were tweeting back and forth, and he was like, "Well, they botched too many picks. I'm not watching it." And I said, "Well, when's the last time they botched a first round draft pick? In your opinion, but knowing what we know now, and I would have to say that the one that you would really go to and you'd say was Kyle, because he had one good year and the rest has been eh. So
it's fair.
I mean, you know, but A.J. Terrell. That was a phenomenal pick.
Yeah.
I mean, phenomenal.
Yeah.
And that was a different regime, too. It was Ra was on the staff, but it was a different regime altogether with GM, head coach. I mean, that was – and he was – and by the way
– Ding.
First one I've given you today. He was, what, one of like five or six DBs taken in the first round. The first was Okuda at three.
Yeah.
And he was the third one taken off the board, and he's been the best. He's had the best career. Damon Arnett's had a good career too, and with but because I think they were Vegas then or the Raiders, whatever you want to say. They took him, and I think AJ's been better.
Yeah,
I just do. And AJ's played behind a lesser pass rush at times.
Yeah, look, man, appreciate everybody weighing in on the socials, man. A lot of people just saying, hey, look, we just need a pass rusher. We just need the best player. And a lot of these tweets, guys, speak to me. We're gonna go to Larry in just a second. A lot of these guys speak to me as like, we don't really know, not one guy has separated themselves in a lot of this edge rusher conversation. There's ups and there's downs for every single one of the edge rushers after Abdul Carter. And there's downs for Abdul Carter as well. But when you look at the situation around a lot of these guys, there's not a lot of separation for some of them. Now, Jalen Walker, I think, is in his own category. But nonetheless, you see people mocking that don't necessarily have him in his own category. I think he is. I think he fits what the Falcons would want to do and adds athleticism at a very high level. But nonetheless, man, we'll see how that pans out. Let's go out to Larry in the truck. And Larry, let's keep the eye on the prize here. Don't go at Bo's music taste, all right, because we already know it's sketchy at best. Let's talk about the NFL draft, man. Hope you're staying safe out there.
I thank you very much. Yeah, I'm going to give Terry Fontenot, over the years he's been here, I'm going to give him a C+. I haven't agreed with the things that he's done. I'll give him, you know, for a few of the ones that he's picked have turned out reasonably well, but I think, you know, like Bo said a minute ago, Kyle Pitts, and I just haven't seen much from it, and I think I do honestly believe that if Terry doesn't go to the playoffs this year, or if they do 7-10 or whatever again, he's out of here.
Yeah.
I don't think that Arthur Blank is going to keep being patient, and I think that's where most Falcons fans are, and you guys know where my fandom is, but I do live here in Atlanta, so, and I listen to you guys every day, so I kind of can't help it. But the fact of the matter is I just believe that there's going to be a portion of the population here in Atlanta that's not going to be happy regardless of what he does, he thinks he's doing. We're going to disagree with the pick. And I think he lives with that. And, you know, the same way that we live with certain people's music selection and their opinion, calling Chicago a jazz group. You know,
well,
we just,
I didn't say they're jazz,
just have
but it's
to live
jazzy,
with it.
Yeah. And it's just not—it's not our vibe. Yeah. Larry's was
appreciate
better than mine. I'll give him credit. But he's right. And look, there's no 5 years in, you're not in the playoffs.
Yeah,
That's a trend. You know, that's not that's what you are. That's just what you are.
Yeah,
you know?
There's no doubt about it, man. It is what it is. And so, to our point earlier, we talked about this a little bit in the 6 o'clock hour. Terry Fontenot, this is not Terry Fontenot living to build a team. This is Terry Fontenot living to fight another year, right? This is kind of a do-or-die draft for Terry Fontenot. This is not Terry Fontenot going, well, let's accumulate some picks. We got to build around Michael. Like, this is Terry Fontenot going, dude, we need to win now. Like, Raheem, to a lesser extent, I don't think that anybody's going to look at Raheem and say, hey, you know, he could get fired if they're not good this year. But there's always that opportunity. And I think Terry Fontenot very much under the gun in terms of making sure that this one tonight, to a lesser extent tomorrow, but this one tonight and the development of the ones you had last year has got to be massive. You've got to hit on this.
You expect the offense to be pretty good this year, right?
You would expect so. Health, if everything stays healthy, you would expect that is a group, a veteran-led group that has been together for a while, and they'd be able to hit the ground running. Yes, you would expect that.
So the defense, if it's serviceable is one thing, but if it's a little bit better than serviceable,
sure,
that's a 10-win team.
Top 20 is serviceable in the league. Top 20 to me is serviceable in the league. If you start getting inside the top 15, top 12,
yeah,
and you're better than average, then we'd be cooking with something here.
Okay. Well, if their offense is what we think it'll be because of the playmakers they have drafted and the defense is serviceable, then you should be a playoff team or a 10-win team.
Sure.
And that, you know, that says that's what you need, and that's why you have to improve the defense. I mean, that you have to. That's why it's not best edge rusher available, it's best playmaker on defense, which Terry said. And again, they tell you what they're doing if you listen. Don't put your want and your thoughts and your words in their mouth when they're telling you exactly what they're going
to
do.
Yeah. Let's go back out to the phone line, 404-726-0929, if you want to weigh in. If the Falcons select blank, they'll be able to make a Super Bowl run in the next three seasons. Philip is in Madison, Georgia. Philip, what's up, man? Hope you're having a good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
I think we can do one or two things. freaking draft a edge rushing Bigfoot, or we can draft a defensive lineman of some sort that makes an impact, just like Bo just said, a playmaker. So hopefully somebody that'll get the other team's offense off the field more consistently. Less number of plays, put our better offense on the field. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. And I think we all – look, I think we're all kind of on the same point with that one. It's funny, man. And Bo, I keep coming back to this, but I think this is really the conversation of today. I don't think there's one consensus guy that is going to bring this fan base together and be like, yep, that was him. Even a guy – and I've told you many times, I am in love with Walter Nolan as a prospect. I don't know that I'm in love with him at 15. I don't know that he is that guy. I don't know if it's reachable. But when you do look at – Jalen Walker. I think Jalen Walker might be the one prospect that would get the majority of Falcons fans going, all right, bro, like, we're good on that.
Yeah, I think Mykel Williams would not be as heralded, but it would be close just because of the Georgia connection. Now, if you were able to somehow, you know, get up to an Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, those would also do it.
Well, sure. Yeah, that'd be great. Let's get one more phone call in here. Let's go back to the lines. Let's go talk to Jerry over in Pike County. Jerry, good morning, man. Hope you have a good day.
How you doing?
Good, man.
If you sit back and think about it, we have one of the best coaches in college football in the state of Georgia, Kirby Smart, correct?
Sure. Yep.
So why don't we do Kirby Smart like Bill Belichick used to do Nick Saban? He would always ask Nick Saban, hey, who do you think we should pick? When's the last time we picked somebody from the SEC besides Kyle Pitts?
Yeah.
I mean, all the SEC players that are out there defensive-wise, we never pick them. We always pick Big Ten or, you know, Pac-12.
Yeah.
I mean, we never pick nobody in the SEC, and that's where everybody's the powerhouse is.
Yeah, it's a good point. I appreciate the phone call, Jerry. It's a good point. But, look. There is no bigger fan of Kirby Smart than me. I played for Kirby. I love Kirby. I think he's a great coach. I would have to guess with a contingent of 22 that went to the Georgia Pro Day, a lot of those conversations have been had. Now, is Kirby Smart a sounding board for Terry Fontenot? Do they have an open text thread? I don't know the answer to that. But it brings up a good point. There is not a lot of the SEC players that you would lean on Kirby Smart for input on, you know, that are going to the Falcons. You just don't see that very much.
I also think that's not a fair comparison because Bill Belichick and Nick Saban had a unique relationship. And to your point, who does Kirby Smart have that relationship with in that building? I mean, you know, Bill Belichick was the boss at one time of Nick Saban. They coached together. They had a very unique relationship. They're also the greatest college football coach, and right now many believe the greatest NFL head coach of all time. I understand the sentiment, and I don't disagree with that you would like to develop that type of relationship with someone in that building with Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
But it's not the same. But that's not – look, I have no problem drafting SEC players.
I'm all about it. Dial that – keep them on speed dial is what I'm saying, and hopefully they are. Look, we're going to talk more NFL draft on the other side. It's the Morning Shift NFL Draft Extravaganza. When we come back, we've been covering it all day. Terry Fontenot visited with the media yesterday. What's his vision for this roster? Is he going to trade down? And is the board set? Is everything ready to rock tonight? This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. When we come back, we will visit with Mr. Dave Archer, and he will answer all those questions that we have for Terry Fontenot. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 929 The Game.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift NFL draft extravaganza. Having a good time here on this Thursday morning. It's Merry Draftmas. Everybody's getting – we're getting a new toy tonight, man. Santa Claus is coming. He's going to bring us a good football player.
Oh, my God!
Cannot wait to hear that name announced on the stage, and I want to bring in a guy. And look, Arch, I say all the time, there's no duo in Atlanta that knows the Falcons roster like myself and Squidbilly. But, Arch, when you add yourself as a third amigo, I know for a fact that is undefeated, my friend. I hope you're having a good Thursday.
I love that, man. I appreciate you bringing me in. I love that we've got three at the top of the order that are power hitters and table setters and run scorers. So we've got it all for you today.
Wow. Arch, we've been talking all day. There doesn't seem to be a consensus amongst Falcons fans. You talk about James Pierce and Mike Green and Jalen Walker and Mykael Williams and Shamar Stewart. The list goes on and on. I know that you study players top to bottom as part of your draft prep, and you'll be down at Mercedes-Benz tonight with Mike Conte and obviously Wes Durham. How many players would you say that you've scouted in terms of possibilities at 15? Because I think we're in the realm of like 20, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right. And that might be just on the defensive side of the football, and I think that's where all our eyes are cast defensively. But certainly you're probably talking anywhere from 8 deep on the at the defensive end position and or edge player position. You could probably throw in another maybe 3 defensive tackles that potentially could come into play. And I'm not talking about just at 15. I'm talking about should things start to happen, shenanigans start happening, and we start getting some trades and people moving back and people coveting a player and moving up, and maybe Atlanta's in that perfect position to where they can move back. And then you're going to throw in probably as many as maybe 3 or 4 corners, then throw in maybe a couple of safeties. So, yeah, you start adding that up, that gets us about around 20 guys. I think you're exactly right.
Shenanigans. Hey, Arch, you take Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter out of the equation. Who is the best defensive player in this draft? Not name one of those two guys on the Archer big board.
Yeah, for me, it's Jalen Walker, the linebacker from Georgia. I think that the versatility that Walker brings to the table, he can play in the second level on first and second down. He can rock up on the first level and rush the passer on third down. His ability to run sideline to sideline, a little light in the rear end potentially for some on that edge. He's between 240 and 245. But I think his speed to power, his quickness, his innate ability just to make plays, I think that he is the guy that jumps off the page at me is probably that next player that's kind of a – and unfortunately, he's not going to be there either for Atlanta. I would be stunned if Jalen Walker last passed the 10th pick.
Well, Arch, Daniel Jeremiah had him in his final mock draft falling to 15. I told Mike earlier, if that happened, I will streak through MBS. as soon as the pick is made, I will streak through the stadium.
That's horrifying. That's horrifying to even think about. I mean, think, you know, if you could put this in your mind, think Elijah Wood, you know, running naked through the movie Lord of the Rings. I mean, we don't want that. We don't need to see that. And anybody that has much hair on his top of his feet than you do, we don't need to see you naked.
That's absolutely hilarious.
That's very hateful. View, yeah. Maybe
accurate. Arch, look, man, I think that most of us have come to the consensus that the Falcons should and will pick an edge rusher. But you know as well as I do that we've all been caught off guard the last couple of years by going in without thought process. The way I want to frame this question for you, though, is if it's not an edge guy, are we more likely to get a corner, a linebacker, or an offensive tackle at 15 instead of an edge?
Well, if we stay at 15, Mike, and let's say you just lock into that spot, and it's not edge rusher, and based on what I've been able to kind of project with everybody else, with you guys, everybody else, I think there's going to be as many 6 edges come off the board in the first round. Could be 7. I'm looking at 6 right now, and I think there's a good chance that maybe 4 5 go in that realm between 1 and 15. I think of the 32 teams that I looked at edge rusher is considered, and most people would say I need an extra edge. Everybody wants an extra edge player nowadays to rush a passer. But I would say 18 of the 32 teams would be willing to take an edge rusher with their pick and in the need category. And six of those teams are in front of Atlanta at the 15th pick. But if it's not an edge rusher, my eyes go to, and this is a guy that I give credit to Bo. Bo was on this guy early on, too. But the ability, and this is, I'm hedging my bet here a little bit, because Jihad Campbell, I love him, the linebacker from Alabama. But from a versatility standpoint and a guy that can play everywhere, Jahdae Barron becomes that guy for me. Because of his ability to play the corner, ran 4.39 at the combine. He really tracks the ball extremely well. He's a Thorpe Award winner, one was the best defensive back in the country. Had 5 interceptions a year ago for the Longhorns. But his ability to play in the slot area, the nickel area, which is where he played a lot over the last couple seasons for Texas, and then his ability to rock back at the safety position, think Earl Thomas, if you will. To me, he reminds me of Earl Thomas, another Texas Longhorn who anchored that back end for the Legion of Boom with all those guys back there. He has that ability to do that, play multiple positions. He's not a big dude. In fact, they're very similar size. If you go back and look Earl Thomas up, Earl was about 5'10", weighed about 190. That's exactly where Jahdae Barron is. In fact, Jahdae's like 5'11". But Earl Thomas ran 4.37. This guy runs 4.39. They're very similar players in their versatility. So that's what you're looking for, in my opinion. If you're not going to go with an edge player, to me, it's got to be a guy that can affect the game in a lot of different ways. And Jahdae Barron is that guy.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of him, Arch, as you mentioned. Hey, one guy I've kind of seen jump up, and he is an edge player, is Donovan Ezeraku. And I'm not as sold on him. I feel like he's a guy that he was very good in college, but he's kind of, to me, a one-trick pony with the spin move and pass rush. And I don't think he's as good as Mike Green is with his hands and shedding blocks in the run game, if you want him for that, too. What do you think of Ezeraku?
No, I think that's a good analogy. I think Ezeraku comes in at about 245, 250, so playing the edge in a defense at 6'2.5" or so. So not a gigantic player. He's a fluid athlete. He moves extremely well, can change direction. He ran 4.6, 4.62 at the combine. He's strong now, which is interesting. He had 22 reps in the bench, which tells you he can lock guys out. He's got some strength on that perimeter, but that was not his strong suit, was keeping people out of his legs. Now, he's got long arms. He's got good length, so you would think that if he gets with somebody that can maybe take him to the next level from a tactician standpoint, he would be a good edge player, but an outstanding player going to get the quarterback, 16.5 sacks, Hendricks Award winner, as the top outside linebacker in the country. He's one of those guys that I think is going to creep in that 20 range, 25 range, somewhere in that neighborhood, where he's going to go off the board in the first round. And that could be one of those guys, should Atlanta decide they want to move back guys and get back into that 22, 23 range, if somebody is a suitor that wants to pop back up, that Ezeraku comes into play for me as a guy that you look at. Think about the young guy from Iowa State that Jeff Ulbrich took with the Jets. Very similar player, long player, not quite as big, but has that ability to bend and get around the edge. Ezeraku, similar type player.
Arch, I'll finish with this. We got about 30 seconds. Mykael Williams is a guy that's been kind of polarizing for a lot of people. I've seen him mocked as early as 6 and as late as like 25. He had some injury issues over at Georgia. Your thoughts if Mykael Williams is the guy that actually lands here with the Atlanta Falcons?
Yeah, I have no problem with that at all, Mike. Mykael Williams, 6'5", 260 pounds, ran 4.65 at the combine or in his pro day. Look for a guy. Now, think about Ulbrich now. What is he going to want in a hybrid, not 4.34, but now a hybrid 4.3? Are you looking for bigger players on the edge? That means Shamar Stewart, and that means Mykael Williams become those bigger edge players that could be those guys that you're looking for to fill out this defense. Mykael Williams will be an excellent addition to Atlanta coming from Georgia.
You're the best, Arch, man. Can't wait to hear you guys on the call tonight. Hope you have a good evening, and hopefully we're all celebrating the Falcons pick, man.
Hey, have fun today on Christmas, baby.
That's it, man.
Merry draft day,
yeah,
Arch.
Yeah, merry draft day, Arch. They'll be down with Squidbilly. Squidbilly breaking out of the house tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that maybe we'll hear about that on Life of Squid coming up in just a minute. But Squidbilly breaking out of the house and be at MBS tonight, along with the rest of the 92.9 crew. You'll hear Dukes and Bell and obviously Mike Conti, Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and Squid on the boards tonight, man. So that'll be a lot of fun. It is draft day here, though. And on the other side, we're going to continue this draft conversation. Very interesting stuff from Dave Archer there. Talking about the fit, talking about Jeff Ulbrich's defense, and not forget, you know, this hybrid 3-4-4-3 that he wants to put in. Keep that in mind as we move throughout the day. But we got a Life of Squid on the other side of the break, buddy.
I'm going to ask you, Mike. I know you threw out some Star Wars stuff. There's a new Star Wars, not a new, but the second season of a Star Wars series called Andor's out. And I'm gonna ask you, talk about it and ask you where you're at in your Star Wars journey with little Michael P. Next morning shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
We're going to do what's best for this football team, whether that's a trade or whatever it is. And so so we're open to whatever it is, if it's going to help the team. Those calls are really important, too, in terms of the trades, and what you want to really get a feel for going into the draft, knowing who's aggressive and who actually wants to come up, who's looking to move down. You want to get a feel for those. Now, they don't really materialize until the actual draft because it depends on what's there. But
Merry Christmas, everybody. It's draft day. It's the morning shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Mike Johnson. It's Squidbilly Bo Morgan. It's Dylon behind the glass hanging out with you. And look, man, it's pretty simple. We've spent the entire day and really the last couple of months trying to figure out what Santa's going to bring tonight, man. We are 11 hours and 18 minutes away from the NFL draft and the Tennessee Titans being on the clock. I think most people assume that is Cam Ward that will be headed to Tennessee, which it's undeniable that every quarterback name that is out there affects the Atlanta Falcons to some extent. And we're not going to sit here and dive back into Kirk Cousins for the next 2 hours or, you know, 15, whatever we got left. But it's undeniable, Bo, that every quarterback situation that you see pop up tonight will undoubtedly affect what the Falcons are able to do with Kirk Cousins and, in the end, who they can sign or move around headed towards the season to kind of get this roster in the right situation.
Yeah, merry draft day, by the way.
Dang.
Look, I think what I want is I want to see Cam Ward go one, Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter go two or three in that thing. Then I'd love to see, honestly, what Daniel Jeremiah has. Will Campbell four, Ashton Jeanty five, and then he has Kelvin Banks, the offensive tackle, at six, and Armon Mimbu at seven. That's perfect right there, okay? Now, what I hate is who he has going eight and nine to Carolina
and tell you.
New Orleans, which is Mason Graham and Michael Williams. But the thing is, it basically does what Arch was just talking about. It kind of does the opposite of that, where there's not a run on edge players if you know that's what you want, and there's, I don't know, there if the top four players in the Falcons border edge guys, that could help us.
Yeah.
And then that what happens in Daniel Jeremiah's is it plays out, Mike, where there is the next pick would be, I told you, Mason Graham, Michael Williams to Carolina and New Orleans. That sucks. But then there's Tyler Warren, Gray Zabel to the Niners, which is an offensive lineman. McMillan, the wide receiver, to the Cowboys, which is a wide receiver. Colston Loveland, which is a tight end, to the Broncos. Now you're looking at 14. Jalen Walker's still on the board. Mm. So is Shamar Stewart.
Mm.
And then Shamar Stewart goes to the Colts, and Jalen Walker would fall to the Falcons. The thing about that is I'm seeing that would play out in a situation where, to your point, there would be one edge to two edge, three edge players off the board before the Falcons get to their pick. And Art said it could be as many as six go before the Falcons. So that would leave some premier edge players. And I personally think that Jalen Walker is very high on the Falcons board. I think it just fits Ulbrich what he wants to do. I think it fits what most any team would want to do in today's NFL world because of the player he is. And what you've seen him at the highest level of football on one of the you know, the best teams in football through the last 4 years, 3 years of, I think he's a junior, right?
Right.
So, and he plays for one of the best defensive coaches in college football the last 15 years. And so that would work out perfect. But that's how the runs work. I mean, and you would have, what, a couple wide receivers go off the board, a couple of tight ends go off the board.
Yeah.
So and a couple offense, three or four offensive linemen go off the board. It's just funny how, again, that's why you can't predict drafts, because runs make the draft.
That's why you have to do your homework, and that's why Terry Fontenot and company have been doing their homework. Look, we got a few minutes before we get to Life of Squid, and I guess it's time, because we've had a lot of build up for this, right? And you know, it's Merry Christmas, it's everything else. I don't want to ask this and frame this as, man, best case scenario for Bo tonight. But in a way, that's kind of the way we have to approach this conversation. You can't sit out there and say, well, yeah, best case scenario is Travis Hunter falls to 15. Not happening. Right? I would love that. I'm sure that we would trust Raheem and whoever else to be able to do the right thing. I would love that. That's not what we're looking at happening tonight. So I think the way to ask this question, and I'll answer it first, what is the situation you deem most likely for the Atlanta Falcons? And all of that has to do with who is selected, to your point, who is selected in front, who is the one guy, I guess, Bo, another way to ask the question, who's the one guy that would hurt you if he's drafted in front of the Falcons and you didn't expect him to? And
you mean like 14?
Yes. Like if you got there and you're like, oh, God dang it, I thought that was our guy. I think, and I'm going to separate this into two conversations. The perfect scenario for me is just like you meant. If Jalen Walker were to fall, I would say that is the perfect scenario. If you have a number of offensive players, offensive tackles, tight ends, whatever the combination has to be, that get taken in front of you and Jalen Walker to fall. But I think the most likely pick, as I look at it and as I start to piece together and I look at mocks and I look at conversations, I think the most likely pick, to my point, and that's why I asked Arch about it, is Mykael Williams. I just think that there's questions about Mykael Williams as far as his output in college, what he was asked to do, his ability to rush the edge. But to Arch's point, when you look at Olbrich's defense, when you look at big body guys, those guys like Mykael Williams, Shamar Stewart, those guys are hard to find. They are hard to find. Yeah. So I feel like it's going to be a Georgia player tonight, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I'd rather have Jalen Walker. I don't know that he makes it that far. But if it's not him, I have a strong gut feeling that the pick tonight will be Mykael Williams to the Atlanta Falcons.
I just feel like Mykael Williams, and I feel like Nick Skorton's going to be a better player in the league, and I think he could get him in the second round.
I think he's more ready right now because of what Mykael was asked to do in college.
But I love Mykael Williams.
Yes.
I think the athletic ability, you know, how much do you think, how much of what he was last year was ankle? And then how much of what he will be in the NFL is like Jay Glazer's tweet, and did he get paid?
Yeah.
Because he's obviously got to have NIL. I mean, I think most star players at Georgia have NIL. That would be ridiculous if he thought they didn't. They wouldn't be at Georgia anymore. They'd be somewhere else because they're 4- and 5-star recruits mainly on that roster.
Yeah.
So I've always had that little bit of in the back of my head with some. I mean, you can say the same about Jalen Walker, I guess. You could really say it about anybody.
Right.
To me, the guy that if they's taken right in front of the Falcons that would hurt me a little bit is Mike Green. I don't disagree
wow.
about anything you say with Mykael Williams.
Wow.
But the guy I've kind of I have if Terry said they're not talking about personal off the field stuff, then it's Mike Green. Because I hear a lot of guys kill the kid, and that's fine. And I'm talking about just on the field because of where he played or other things. Dude, I see dog. I see guy had effort. He's got very good hands. He's got a very good way of shedding blocks. You know, tight ends can't block him in the run game. His best game, like Mark Ross told us yesterday, came against Ohio State.
Yeah.
I guess my point is if they pass on him, that's fine. I just don't want to see him go in front and they don't have a chance at him. That's
yeah.
the way I view your question, and that's why I said him.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think that the one hiccup I have is Mykael Williams, and there's not many. There's not going to be this groan from the city of Atlanta if Mykael Williams is the pick tonight. I think everybody will be excited. The one thing that scares me, though, is he wasn't technically really an edge rusher in college. He played the five technique, right? And that's what you heard from Arch. You know, he'll be asked to do a little bit of that. It seems like an Olbrich scheme. But we have not done a good job in the city of Atlanta over the course of time of developing players. We have gotten good players. Most of them have been first rounders that just come in here and they're good players. Developing pass rush moves and whatever else you need from Mykael Williams over the next couple of years, Bo, I don't know that I feel great about it. But he's a specimen, and I have a feeling like he's going to be the pick, and I know that he can get it done in the right situation.
See, I think it's such a good point by you because that's the biggest problem that I have in the evaluation from some people, air quote experts and fans, is they think he's a straight edge, and I think he's a run stopper more than anything.
Yeah, he uses that long body very, very well at the 4i.
All right, I know we're going to get to Life of Squid here, but what is your wish with if the draft goes chalk? Who do you want at 15? Like, I mean, chalk. Like, we know that Jalen Walker goes in the top 10, Mykael Williams goes in the top 10. You know, it kind of plays out, and we've kind of seen most of what the mock drafts have. What's your number one wish? Your love pick?
My love pick is Jalen Walker.
Okay,
and
he's gone.
Two months ago, we never even thought that that was even a possibility.
I still don't think.
Behind that, I'm on board with Shamar Stewart and Mykael Williams. I think Shamar Stewart maybe a little bit more, although his output wasn't great. But I don't know. I think it's hard to answer your question. What even is chalk? I don't even know what that even looks like. I don't mind if you take an offensive tackle. I don't mind if you take Mike Green. I'm not in love with either one of those. I don't want you to get James Pierce necessarily. I don't want you to get Donovan Azaraku. I don't know what chalk is, man. And it's a hard question to answer, and it's something that we'll be wondering all the way up till pick 15 tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just would tell you, and being realistic, do not forget Jahdae Barron's name or Jahad Campbell's, because it could be very realistic that one of those guys is at 15. Dylan, when I get home tonight from the draft for Mercedes-Benz, Pork Chop probably do a bottle. I think Squid's going to have an Allen Lager, you know, his wine down.
you'll have a can, you'll have a bottle? Okay.
Yep. Hoodie-hoo. I think I'll do that, and then I'll probably at some point have some Baron Burton's W sauce on something tonight. Star Wars is now a product of Disney. Disney has screwed it up in a lot of ways. And our own Grant McCauley's very much been a big –
not happy with it, man.
Yeah, he's been very vocal about his thoughts on it. The best thing probably they did was a movie called Rogue One, which was the prelude to A New Hope Star Wars, which was actually episode 4. And they made a TV show off of it called Andor. Second season is out. Apparently, from what I have not started it. They released the first 3 episodes. But when I heard this directly leads into the movie Rogue One, so I'm assuming it'll be the last season. I brought all that up to ask you, Mike, how you decided to watch Star Wars with Ridge.
Dude, I had so much feedback, and I appreciate everybody.
I'm insulted you didn't ask me, by the way.
Well, it was. I put it out on social. So you were one of the people that could have read that, and you probably did. And nonetheless, you're asking me about it right now. So I say all that to say I had a lot of feedback. You need a freaking Rand McNally roadmap to be able to find your way through the Star Wars verse. We started with The Phantom Menace. It has been very slow. Trudging for my 4-year-old. He's like 20 minutes, and then he wants to play with Legos, and then 20 minutes he wants to throw the football, and then 20 minutes. So we are still on the very end of Phantom Menace, and we'll move on from there. I didn't start from the very, very old beginning because I didn't think he'd be into the graphics. It's working out so far, man. It's been more of a babysitter than anything, but we're getting there. It's slow moving. I think it'll catch fire at some point, though.
Man, that's cool. That's cool to hear. I'm glad you guys are getting to experience that together. Merry draft day. Let's go get us an impact defensive player, Atlanta. That's what matters, impact defensive player.
Oh, my God.
And we'll have, I'm sure we'll have the introductory press conference of Kelvin Banks tomorrow. A kid.
Oh, man. Just a reminder, this hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Bo, have fun. Escaping the Casa tonight down there at Mercedes-Benz. Hope everybody else has fun tonight, too, checking it out. That's it for us here on the Morning Shift. Steakhouse is next. Make sure you
stay cool, Atlanta.